to come and get some of that stuff. And meanwhile, I'd like to ask Mr. Ab Phoenix to join me up here. So as we've been doing in January, we're having something a little different. Rather than preaching a regular sermon, what we're going to do is hear from members of the congregation about how God has worked in their lives. And today, we're going to hear a bit from Ab. Well, how about if I go ahead and pray, and we'll get started. Our great God and loving Father, we thank you first and foremost for your Son, Jesus, in whom you showed us your great love and your great power and your desire to save and call a people for yourself. We thank you for his death on our behalf, paying the price for our sins, and we thank you for his resurrection and the new life which he shares with us. We thank you also, Lord, for the work which he has given us to do to bring the gospel to all nations, an enormous privilege for us to share. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless us to be like your Son, Jesus, to make your will and your words and your work the number one thing in our lives. We ask it for our sake and for his and for the sake of your kingdom. Amen.
Before I start, could I just a little, I was given a notice that probably not many would know, Mr. Dallywater. Mark Dallywater used to be part of this church. Mark's father passed away, and I just asked to pass that on to a church, to those who may know of Mr. Dallywater. Mark was a missionary in many years in this church. He went to Senegal, I think it was, in Africa, and served the Lord for many years out on the field. So I'll just pass that on to you.
Ab, would you like to pray for Mark and his family?
Yes, Lord, we do commit Mark and the family to you. Lord, I don't know where the father stood. I've no idea, but you know. You know the heart of every person. And so, Lord, for this whole family now, probably good memories, beautiful memories, sad memories, whatever, Lord, be with that family, comfort them, be their strength, be their guide, and Lord, may your presence be there with them. From this day on, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well,
I've no idea where this is going, so.
Yeah, no. Neither do I, Ab. Can I start by saying that a number of people have told me they really, really appreciated hearing from Richard last week during his interview. And they did say that I should probably be harder on you than I was on Richard.
Expected,
but I was curious how you felt about hearing from Richard last week.
Yeah, so there are a few pertinent points there. One was Richard speaking about his where he came to the point of knowing God, came to love God. And it was over quite a bit of a period. I spoke to Bev. Bev's the same sort of thing, but I had in my mind, quite a clear time. On the 9th of February, 1946, in Ceylon, we're on our way to India, and God spoke to me, clear as 8 o'clock at night. It's just, it was like that. And that connection with God at that time has carried right through life. Wherever I've gone, whatever I've done, God's always been there. That's a central point. And just the fact of knowing God loves you, God cares for you, and God is in control. That was important. I think that's what impressed you, Richard. That,
right.
Yeah. One of the things that he brought up.
Yeah, well, I'm a bit like Richard myself. I can tell you a window during which I became a Christian, but I don't know the moment.
Yeah.
I think it's important to observe that God does work differently in each one of us, but it's the same Lord that brings that salvation. Ab, before we start, what we want to talk about, what we want to hear a little bit about is Ab and Bev's mission time in Karawang, but maybe you could just tell us a little about yourself first for anyone that maybe hasn't had the chance to get to know you too well yet.
You've probably heard the word mishkid, and I was one of those. Bev is one of those. Quite a few people in this church are one of those. My parents were in Mauritius. I was born in Mauritius. I was there for 3 years. And from 36 to 39, we came back to Perth. I guess that influenced my life in some way. I didn't appreciate it at the time. I didn't appreciate it for years. But that must have had some sort of an influence in my life. But we came back to Perth. The war started 39 to 45, so we couldn't go anywhere. In 45, we went to India. Parents went to India, and they were there for the rest of their working life. So I was 6 years in India for 45 to 51. Finished schooling over there at 15, we came back to Australia. And that's a whole other story, so we won't go down that path. But I think that influence was there. Was it all good? No, it wasn't all good. As a kid, I felt shortchanged in some ways. Christmas time would come. We would get socks and jocks, that sort of thing, you know. I was looking for a present. Get the picture? I felt a little bit shortchanged. But that experience over the years has stayed with me. And, God has been good.
Good. As I said, we want to hear a little bit about your mission work in Currawang, but I wanted to ask you what the word mission means to you.
Years ago, when I was growing up, missionaries were people out there. They were sent out from a church to somewhere, to overseas mainly, that's what it seemed to be. They were missionaries. They'd come back to talk in the church for 2 hours and then go again. And mission is far more than that. I've got a little bit of a note here. Oh no, it's up here somewhere. I've got a note here which it says, your calling is not what you do, your calling is who you are. You will have different assignments in life, but you have one great calling. You are called to be God's representative in those places and in those relationships where you are uniquely placed to fulfil God's mission. When you open your heart to this truth, then your eyes will be open to the constant opportunities God is giving you to represent him. That, to me, is mission. Your mission, everyone's mission, every day is a mission. Doesn't matter where you are. I had a person I knew very well. His commitment to God was Sunday. And committed financially, everything, support. But through the week, it was a different scene. I can't believe that. God is every day. That's our mission, to reach out to wherever you are, to whoever. Is that the direction you're going?
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm more interested in the direction you want to go. Okay. Yeah, that's. I think that's spot on, Ab, definitely. In a sense, then everyone's a missionary, and we kind of invented the word mission. It doesn't really come from the Bible. We invented it to describe people that we send out to do God's work in other countries, but who's going to do it here? We have a mission here as well. Well, having spoken about that, and
can I to enlarge on that a little bit? This church had a dynamic youth work. Graham Taylor, one of the main leaders in that, for years, and in the context of mission, these kids, after Sunday night service here at the church, would go to different homes for supper. We'd have 20, 30, 40 kids out the back of the house, and it was absolutely fantastic. And this was mission for us personally, for Bev, not me so much, more for Bev. Bev had an open heart, open door, an open fridge. And the kids were, the house was always full of kids. It was absolutely fantastic. And I think that was mission to us. And that, so many of those kids, what were kids, have now become our friends, close friends. And I think God has moved. Over the years, these young ones have gone away, but we would get a phone call one morning just saying, I've done this, or the Lord's spoken to me. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. So God works in mysterious ways. He's wonders to perform, the saying goes. Yeah.
And so mission is still ongoing, but speaking of Kerrawang in particular, I know that a number of us have been quite blessed and encouraged to hear some of your stories from that mission work. So I was wondering if there were one or two that you might share with us this morning about how God was at work with you there.
God is at work, all right. We went for 3 months and ended up 9 years. And they were fantastic years, and they were extremely hard years, probably the hardest years of our lives. But yeah, God was at work. For those of you who don't know, Kerrawang is out of Kalgoorlie, an Aboriginal community. It was a child support and mission. And the government policy changed where children have all got to go back to their parents, whatever. So we were sent up there basically to close that mission down. While we were there, about the second month we were there, a group of Aboriginal people, mature group of people that Bev grew up with in the earlier mission of Mount Margaret, they called us together into a house and said, we want to speak to you. So they said, look, we can't afford to let Kerrawang go. Now, I don't know where it came from, but they'd picked this up, that we were going to close Kerrawang. We can't afford to let it go. So we look back and say it was a transition from what it was, just dormitories, into a whole community of people. Housing, education, enterprise, the whole thing. It was a huge, huge project, which if we had stopped and thought about at the beginning, we'd probably never done it. But God obviously there, and he worked that way. So through that time, yeah, absolute miracles. I think God gave us his miracles to confirm, well, I want you here. I want you to stay here. We had to get funding. That was originally church funded. We had to get into the government funding stream. And that was a big battle. But Ian Taylor, politician up there in Kalgoorlie, he was on our side, a Christian man, lovely man. The first money that came through from the government, I think it was only about $10,000, had a condition on it. Take out the name Christian. It was Kerrawang Aboriginal Christian Community. That was the name. Take out the word Christian, you can have the money. And the Aboriginal people, the group on my executive, said, we won't do it. Send it back. They sent it back, and the same amount of money, no different, came through another channel, no conditions. Obviously, God at work. God's at work. And, you know, these things just don't happen. For us personally, I'll tell you a little personal story. We're probably about 3 years in. We had an account come through, because we still had the house here in Perth. We hadn't sold it. An account came through for $1,000. We had to change from the septic to a sewer. $1,000. And look, we were sitting down to prayer in the morning. We said, look, God, there it is. We can't do it. We couldn't do it. A couple of days later, a check came for $1,000. Now, that's straightforward. What happened before I went to Kerrawang, I used to do drafting, and I designed a church and a school for a church group over east, Independent Baptist over east. We didn't charge because that was part of my ministry. That was a few years before. A new pastor came to the church, and he was cleaning out his office and saw this big roll of drawings, working drawings. And he said, what are these for? Who's this Phoenix on the bottom? They said, oh, Phoenix, he was doing this work, but he's now gone to Kerrawang as a mission. Did he ever get paid? No, never. So they sent a check for $1,000. Now, 2 years before, this is all happening. To the day God answered our prayer. Is that good luck? It's God answering prayer. These things confirmed our faith, first of all, and it confirmed the fact that we've had to stay on at Kerrawang. It just seemed to go on and on. God's provision, God's protection. We had a few bad spots there. One time we had a big convention on site. We were setting up for it and letting out accommodation to the different ones. And this group, one night, this group came up, walked up towards me. It was just on dusk, and there's probably 10 or 12 of them. And they had me by the shirt, and they were going to kill me. They wanted a certain rooms in this place, and they weren't going to get them, because my offsider, an Aboriginal jack of training, he said, no, that's been given to someone else. But as all this is going on, Michael McGuinness came up alongside me, this Aboriginal chap, and he said, "Now, hang on. And just at that moment, we looked up in the sky, and there's, don't ask me what it was, I don't know to this day, in a little cloud, looked like a boomerang shape, went over the mission. And you could hear the people just right up through the bush. Woo! And this creep in front of me just down on their knees. Sorry, brother. God at work, they understood that. Our society, it wouldn't mean a thing. It wouldn't even look. That meant something on the spot, down on their knees. And one of that family committed to go to Bible college from that weekend, Elvis. So, you know, these things happen. We had story after story. It just goes on. The God at work all the time. Yeah, I won't take too long.
Oh, no. Ab will be around for morning tea if you want to hear some more stories. But I think that it's remarkable to hear about God's provision and his protection in these unmistakable and miraculous ways. Things coming to fruition that were at work for years before you even needed the money that came about, or signs in the heavens and things like that. So
when we started the program, we had a need for housing. We had no money. So what happens? John Kosuva, you'll know John from here, he was transferred to Kalgoorlie at that time. And John would ring me up and say, "Look, Ab, there's a house at Yerbalon, there's a house somewhere else. What was happening? They're closing down the pumping stations on the way to Kalgoorlie, and these houses are becoming free under the housing, banner of housing." And he said, "Do you want them?" I said, "My word, we do." And so we charged, I think at that time, $1,500 or $2,000 to take this house and clear the site. We'd rush down the site, cut the house in half, and get a truck and transport them back. And this is the way we started the building program there. So what I'm saying is, a person in the right place at the right time. Yeah, he worked for the Housing Commission. Yeah, sorry. He was in Meriden, transferred to Kalgoorlie. And then once we got a house, he transferred out of Kalgoorlie. But yeah, it's just a person in the right place. I didn't sort of think of that at the time. But looking back over life, that's how God works. He works special ways. Mm. Oh, sorry, Larry, you're on, Larry.
No, that's fine.
Your turn.
It is great to hear about these kind of amazing things happening just at the right time, or even supernatural occurrences. So with all this kind of stuff going on, does that mean that you always felt close to God and you never had any doubts or worries or troubles?
No, we never got any problems, not much. It was difficult. Bev had a breakdown 3 years, a nervous breakdown. She won't mind me saying that. This is a fact of life. It happened. But that's hard when you're under pressure. You know, you've got to work with a team, and these sorts of things pull you down. Was the work easy? No, extremely difficult. We had problems with alcohol, people with those needs, you know, coming to us, but it was almost a disaster. Before I forget, every month or so, 8 o'clock in the morning, I get a call. Abby, Peter Brown speaking. You know Peter Brown? Peter Murray's here, I think, somewhere. Yeah, Murray's here. Peter used to ring me up. "How are you going, Ab? I'd like to pray for you." Little thing, right? God at work. God's encouraging. But I remember getting to a stage where I didn't know where to turn. That's how I felt at times. And when I think of things, I put it on paper. I don't talk about it. And I wrote down some verse, which I'd like to read out to you. So I think it gives you an insight into how a person can feel. "I'm looking but not seeing, listening, Lord, but hearing not. Seeking daily for some answers, asking questions, why and what. Lord, I know your presence daily. Know you're there to help and care, but still feel a certain distance with my love and daily prayer. Lift my heart, Lord. Draw me closer. Let me hear your voice in you. Help me, Lord, to put my hand out. Touch you, God, and be renewed. As I look back over past days through the hard work and the tears, I'm reminded of your presence. I'll be with you. Never fear. May the joy of every moment, joy of life and early morn, fill my spirit with a freshness. Fill me with your love reborn." You know, you feel you're looking for something from God. "Thank you, Lord, that in our weakness we can still your presence feel. know that you will never leave us. Hear the words, I'm with you still. And that's just one time when you're down. And that's how I felt at the time. And God works. You get over that and get on with it. Things got that bad at one time. The elders here said, we're going to take you out of Karawang. And I said, no one takes us out. God brought us here. God takes us out. And that happened. But even that wasn't easy. So, yeah.
Thank you for that, Ab. Reading that bit that you wrote there, and if I'm not mistaken, that was from 91, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah, 91. Yeah.
Quite some time ago. Yeah. Reading that, it reminds me, I don't know if this struck you, but it reminds me of a lot of the Psalms, where the psalmist starts out in a hole, desperate, calling on God, even though he doesn't feel like God's listening at all. And by the end of it, he's praising God for his trustworthiness and his love, and thanking God for his presence among his people. So I was struck by that. I think maybe if the Psalms were written in the 90s in Australia, that might be what they sound like.
Yep.
But we started this morning by thinking about what mission is. And we're wrapping up now by thinking about our confidence that the Lord is with us, even when things are not going so well. And so I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you
to the end of the age.
To the end of the age. Yeah, amen. Yeah, Jesus, who died for our sins and rose to life again, he promises to be with us as we go out and do what he's told us to do.
God's the one that changes lives. Some of you may have seen, we had the church turn around over that way, pulpit there, and here this man standing on the pulpit. Big black face, a beautiful Aboriginal man. He was in the gutter in Kalgoorlie, before our time there. He was in the gutter. They said he was the worst alcoholic in Kalgoorlie. And one of his Aboriginal friends leant down that one day, we heard the story after, and rubbed him on the heart here and said, God got something special for you. He went to Bible college, Noangarot Bible College, and here a few times, preaching the word. It's absolutely beautiful here. God does it, not us. We can't do a thing. God does it, God works, and we've seen that. Another young bloke stole a car in Kalgoorlie, rolled it down at Esperance, and next thing, I don't know what happened, intervening, but he's in Kalgoorlie. Everyone knew Eric Davison, sitting in the main street playing the guitar, always gospel songs, always playing, with a smile on his face. He'd sit under the tree at the top of Hannah Street, all the Aboriginal drinking there. He'd sit there with the guitar playing gospel songs, never touched a drop. God changed him. He loved the Lord, and this is why he expressed it, just sitting there playing his guitar. So, yeah, God's great. Good God, good God.